This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'aghfiruhu. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Wa man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. In the journey through the Qur'an that we find certain elements that exist inside the Qur'an between the two opposites, whether at times you find discussion of al-Iman, of belief, or you find a discussion of kufr, of disbelief. Likewise, you find at times the Qur'an is bayn al-wa'di wal-wa'id, is between giving the promise and the severe ending or the punishment the person could be facing. The Qur'an at times is bayn al-bashir wa nadhir, is between giving the glad tidings and giving the warnings. The Qur'an at times is bayn al-targhib wa tarheeb. The Qur'an at times in between encouraging us to do certain actions and telling us to stay away from certain yani actions. So this concept of zawjiyah, of things which exist in pairs, is not just inside the Qur'an, it's even around us, that there are opposites that we can visualize and opposites that we cannot visualize. وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. In everything we have created pairs, that you may ponder, you may reflect about it. So the pairs that we want to discuss, or that we want to talk about, is the opposite of the unworlds, the unseen world of al-Jannah wal-Nar, of paradise and of the hellfire. So before we enter the discussion about paradise, because many times we focus upon the fearful issues of scaring people, etc., we want to focus upon the good things. What is the final end of the Muslim and what is the path to paradise? What are the actions that we can begin to do to help us to come closer to paradise and eventually, inshallah, swiftly and quickly enter into paradise? This methodology is also the methodology of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he's been sent to mankind between giving them glad tidings and to warn them. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira. O Prophet, we have sent you as one who is a witness upon mankind or towards mankind, and one to give the glad tidings and to warn the people. Likewise, you find وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Indeed, we did send you to the whole of mankind to warn them and to give them the glad tidings. So this is the methodology that the Muslim follows. At times you find وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Remind them about the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At times, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. The final ayah of the Qur'an inside Surah Al-Baqarah that we find, as Imam al-Suyuti mentions inside his works, Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Qur'an, fear that day. Some verse 283 of Surah Al-Baqarah, fear that day whereby you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will not be oppressed for what you've done upon this earth, and you'll be given your full recompense on that day. So that is giving the fearful issues, and likewise then giving people the bushra, giving people the glad tidings, and those people who follow the correct path, for them there will be the following righteous, or the goodness that will be delivered to them. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُ الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَةٌ. Those individuals who done good, for them there will be al-husna. There will be some goodness that will be given to them. Wa ziyadatun, and something extra will be given to them. And obviously we know that ziyadatun, the extra hair inside this ayah, inside Surah Yunus that we find, we read the tafsir of this ayah, and based upon the sahih of Imam Muslim that we find, that ziyadatun, the extra thing that will be given to the Muslim, the believer, will be to see the sublime face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. On that day, some faces will be radiant, they will be glowing, they will be shining, visualizing the Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is one of the ultimate blessings inside paradise. So the person needs to tread that path to gain that ultimate blessing. And that's if you read the Kitab al-Iman of Imam Muslim that we find the beginning, and you read the end of Kitab al-Jannah وَصِفَةُ نَعِيمِهَا وَأَهْلِهَا, the book on paradise and the descriptions of the people of paradise and the bliss and the bounties and the rewards that will be given to the people of paradise. So as I mentioned, we need to have the balance. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We made you the middle nation. Know about those things which could be detrimental to us, and likewise also know about the good things, the blessings that will be given to us if we remain steadfast and committed on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at times a person may study the evil or study the bad things or the bad ending to stay away from it. As the Arab poet, he mentioned, عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ لَا لِشَّرَّ وَلَكِنْ لِتَلَافِيهِ. I studied evil not for the sake of evil, but to be able to stay away from it. Whoever doesn't know the difference between good and evil, جَدِيرْ أَنْ يَقَعَ فِيهِ, will eventually possibly fall into that evil. So that is the reason why a person studies that which is incorrect, to be able to stay away from it. So as Muslims, obviously we study the concept of the punishment, of the hellfire, to be able to keep ourselves away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today we don't want to focus too much upon that, we want to focus upon the good things. As we know, all of this is classified as a world of umurul ghaybiyat, the affairs of the unseen. That's the Qur'an when it begins in a strange manner, by mentioning that this is the book, guidance for those individuals who are the pious individuals. And then the characteristic of these individuals, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْمِ, those are the believers who believe in the unseen. Because the whole of the journey of the Qur'an, whatever comes afterwards, is what? Is the unseen. We cannot actually see it. So we begin by reading the Qur'an, by believing in the unseen. So we know, الْجَنَّةُ حَقٌّ وَالنَّارُ حَقٌّ. We know according to the prophetic tradition of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ that paradise is a reality and hellfire is a reality. So whatever we discussed, when a person needs to have that yaqeen, needs to have that certainty. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship your Lord until al-yaqeen comes to you. Al-yaqeen huna bima'na al-maut. So the believer continuously worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until death comes to him. To that individual, unlike the deviant individuals who believe al-yaqeen bima'na al-kash or al-ilham or some superior knowledge or understanding, then the person give up the sharia. That is a deviant view. We find that the mu'min is the one who continuously worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the person leaves this dunya. He's always in state of ibadah. If there's any individual who's able to abandon the ibadat, the worship, it would have been the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we find from his methodology, amongst his final few words in the final 4 or 5 days of his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum, the prayer, and whatever your right hand possesses. So if there was any individual that none of us Muslims would say it's possible to abandon the sharia or to give it up or not to be asked about it, it would have been specifically to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we see that he continuously remained observant until the final breath of his life, until he left this dunya. So this in his introduction to set us the mindset about that journey towards paradise, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared numerous things for the believers, that is going to be blessings for the believers, especially that we find that living upon this earth at the moment, we find that some concept of justice is not given. أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Are we going to make the Muslims like the criminals? How do you judge? Because many times Muslims begin to pose this question, that what do we have inside this dunya? What are the good things that we've given to the believers? You can't judge that in this dunya inside the akhirah. The akhirah is a total different world. That's why, as I mentioned, we read Kitab al-Jannah, the book on Jannah, inside Sahih Muslim, you find many beautiful ahadith mentioned inside there. That the kafir, a disbeliever, who's lived any 50, 60 years of what they claim to be a good life, and he will be once any dipped inside Jahannam. Any hal, yani, did you see any goodness inside your life? And the person would say no. Any, did you ever enjoy any of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The person would say no. And likewise, the believer, the opposite. One small dip inside paradise. Any hal marra bika shiddatun qat? Hal ra'ita bu'san qat? Did any difficulties come upon you? Did you ever see any hardships, adversities inside your life? One small dip in paradise, the believer will say what? No. So this dunya, as we know in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. This world is a prison for the believer and a paradise for the disbeliever. Meaning that disbelievers do whatever they want to do. Whereas the believer is codified. Whether he possesses the dunya or he doesn't possess the dunya, he is still restricted by the quyood of the sharia, by the limitations, by the parameters of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person needs to stay within that law. So the believer, even when he becomes dominant upon this earth, his vision is still the akhirah. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions inside Surah Al-A'raf that we find, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So indeed this earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gives inheritance, dominance to whomever he wants subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even a Muslim becomes dominant, becomes powerful, controls, whatever it may be, look at the final end of the ayah. It's still sending out a message that for the believer, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The real abode for the believer, for the pious individuals, is the akhirah. That is the real essence of the believer. So the Muslim never falls into the trap that even if he does have the dunya, he is still working towards the akhirah. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your share, yani, of the dunya. Doesn't mean that person gets so engrossed, yani, inside the dunya. The person is, as you find many ulama tafsir, they mention, the person is using the dunya to get the akhirah. Isti'malu dunya lil akhirah. You're using this dunya. What it meaning this ayah? One meaning this ayah is you're using the dunya to get what you can to get towards the akhirah and get that immense reward, yani, inside the akhirah. Likewise, you find وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانَ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. The real place of living, of life, of eternity is what? Is the akhirah. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If they only had knowledge regarding this. So the real home, the real final abode, وَاللَّهُ يَهْدِي إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, guides towards the home of peace. What is the home of peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The home of peace is paradise. Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi 'ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Oh, that soul in contentment at peace, you need to return back to your Lord in a state of happiness, of contentment. Enter amongst my servants and enter into my paradise. So this is the return, you know, of the believer, that the believer wants to find his or her return back into paradise. Because obviously, initially, we've been expelled from paradise because of that initial mistake of Adam alayhi salam, that we've been taken, yani, out of paradise and we've been placed on this earth. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. We've only been here, yani, for a short while upon this earth, and then we have to make that return journey back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside, yani, the akhirah. Likewise, yani, we find وَالدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Yani, so دَارُ الْآخِرَةُ is, yani, better for the people who are pious individuals. Yani, why don't you أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ? Why don't you comprehend, yani, and understand this? So once again, الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ, the final abode, the last abode, the eternal abode, yani, for the believer is, yani, the akhirah. So for many of us, we take it for granted, yani, with false hopes and assumptions that we're just going to go to paradise. As we know in this world, whatever a person strives for is eventually what they will gain. وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. Man will only have that which he strives for. So people striving after the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general, sunnat Allah ila al-ard, sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the earth in general, is to give the person whatever they strive for. And thus, yani, we find, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا. Those individuals who strive for the akhirah and they exert their efforts, وهو مؤمن, and that individual is a believer, that individual فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا, then their sa'i, their striving, their struggling is one which is a grateful struggling that we find, and they will be equally rewarded. Thus you find inside Surah An-Nahl that the believer فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا will give the believer a good life. A good life inside the dunya and even more so inside the akhirah. What is a good life for the believer inside this world? Those who believe and their hearts are full of tranquility in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Indeed, in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to hearts find tranquility and peace. So obviously, the striving, the struggling is going to be difficult. When people think it's very easy to enter into paradise, it is a commodity which is very, very expensive. Just like in the dunya, you need to save up your wealth, your time, your efforts to go and purchase something and to gain it. Likewise, the akhirah is something very, very expensive. Person shouldn't think that the akhirah is something cheap. Paradise is something cheap that a person can do a few miserly actions and somehow get a lofty place inside paradise. It is something expensive, so the person has to make the most expensive of their time, the most value of their time and their efforts to gain a lofty place or a rank in paradise. And thus, as I mentioned once again, going back to Sahih Muslim that we find that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created paradise and Jibreel alayhi salam went to see paradise and saw the beauty, saw the blessings, and he wanted anybody who sees paradise would want to dive straight into paradise. And anybody who saw Jahannam, the punishment, etc., want to do what? Stay away from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned or told, made the statement or said that it should be حُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِحِ وَحُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ or حُجِبَتْ. Cover up paradise with obstacles and cover up the hellfire with desires, with temptations. So paradise, before it was very easy, whoever sees paradise just want to go into it. But we find, according to this hadith in Sahih Muslim, that paradise has been surrounded by obstacles. What are the obstacles that trap you, or you have to overcome to come into paradise? If you read the Sharh of Imam Muslim by Imam An-Nawawi, some 18 odd volumes that you find, he highlights that there are, in general, four obstacles you need to overcome to get into paradise. Remember, this is written centuries ago, and it still concerns us today. He says the first obstacle that you find is al-ijtihad fil ibadat, is to strive, yarhamukallah, is to strive inside your ibadat, to remain preserving and committed towards the fundamental principles of a Muslim. After belief that we find that actions is preserving one's prayer. حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Guard your prayers, and specifically the middle prayer, and stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of observance. So this is al-ijtihad fil ibadat, that we know now in the summer days the prayer is very, very long. Meaning the prayer will go to all the way to up to maybe some masajid, 11 o'clock, 11:15, 11:30, Salatul Fajr will be 3 o'clock, etc. inside the morning, the fasting in the month of Ramadan, all of this. These are all obstacles. So the person needs to overcome these obstacles. Persevere. Wasbiru. Wasabiru. Not just patience, a resolution, commitment. Carry on. Persevering, as we mentioned, until the person overcomes his obstacles. The second thing that he mentions is qadmul ghayf, which literally means to swallow one's anger. So many people, when they're young, etc., or even elderly individuals, when they get angry, then everything just goes out the window. If you want a path to paradise, swallow your anger. That's a sign of a path to paradise. The person swallows their saliva, swallows it like you swallow your spit. If you're fasting, etc., you have to do that. Or you're chewing something, you don't want to spit it out, you swallow it. So a path to paradise, a person needs to swallow their anger. It's what Imam An-Nawawi mentioned centuries ago. The third thing that he said is al-afu, is to be able to forgive and to pardon people. Now that's another obstacle. Some people, they may pray, they may swallow their anger, but they don't forgive somebody else. They're not able to forgive anybody else. No, but a Muslim, the chest of a Muslim is wide, it's expansive chest, that a person is one who is able to forgive, to pardon, to overlook. So a person needs to overcome that obstacle. And fourthly, we find is as-sabr anish-shahawat, to to have patience, to stay away from desires, from temptations. This is written, remember, centuries ago. Imam Nawawi has written this centuries ago. To have patience, to stay away from the temptations and desires. Because we know that all around us, especially living inside the West, there are many temptations and desires to take a person away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus the ulama say that this earth is divided into two types of fitan. Either fitna to shubuhat, the fitna of doubts in one's aqa'id, in one's belief, taking a person away from the sunnah, creating shubuhat, creating thoughts, incorrect thoughts. You find attacks of al-mulhidun, of atheists, of whatever, shu'iyya, communists, all these isms that we find, al-adiyan, al-ukhra, other ways of life, all trying to attack Islam, and all trying to create doubts. Is Islam, can it be dominant today in the 21st century? Does it really apply? Does the hijab apply today? Does a Muslim this apply? Does that apply? Does that apply? These are all shubuhat that will continue to begin to take place. But obviously some of the young individuals, they're not really too worried about this. So thus you find the second element is ash-shahawat, is desires, is temptations, that you find continuously bombarding any the world, the whole globe, the Muslim ummah, with entering them into what? Into a world of temptations, whether it be the use of the media, the satellite, the internet, television, whatever it may be. And the general atmosphere is another way of distracting people away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the two attacks. Any the attacks of shubuhat wa shahawat, attacks of any corruption of aqa'id, or the attack of the corruption of the natural fitrah of the human being to keep people away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are shahwat that the person, the young Muslims they face, or the Muslim faces in general inside the West. A person needs to overcome that to be able to become a successful individual treading or coming upon any the path of paradise. And we know the slogans around us, أَخْرِجُوا أَلَى لُوتِ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتُطَهَرُونَ. Get rid of the people of Lut. They want to be people who are purified. Very rarely do you find a person upon what? Upon righteousness, upon goodness. That's what you find in a hadith. وَجَوَّدَ إِسْنَادُهُ الشَّيْخ نَاصِرٍ الْأَلْبَانِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَعْجَبُ مِنْ شَابٍ لَا صَبْوَةً لَهُ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala marvels at an individual, لَا صَبْوَةَ لَهُ بِمَعْنَى لَا يَمِيلُ إِلَى الْهَوَى. A young boy, a young man, who doesn't incline towards any temptations. Because Imam al-Mannawi, Sahib al-Faid al-Qadir, mentions, فَإِنَّ هَذَا نَادِرٌ. This is very, very rare. Young people in general are not able to stay away from temptation desires. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising. Marvel here, meaning is praising this individual. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala marvels at this type of individual who does not go towards a path of temptations. So we know that this is very, very rare. But this is what we want to instill within our Muslim youth. That this is the path that we need to be following, or as Muslims we need to be following, then that is the path you need towards any paradise. Likewise, we know, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Those people love to spread vice, evil conduct, misconduct, bad behavior amongst those who believe. For them, inside this world and inside the akhirah, there will be a severe chastisement for those individuals. So, obviously, and I'm sure most of us are thinking now, well, actions are not important. That's right. Actions to a slight degree may not be important, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see who is trying. Who is making that effort. If a Muslim falls into the trap that their iman just becomes a life of al-hub, a life of just love. Ulama of Aqeedah mentioned, فَإِنَّ هَذَا صَاحِبُهُ الزِّنْدِيقُ. This person is a heretic. Because that's where you find that the Sufis, the mystical individuals, their life is all about al-hub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, Allah pardons, Allah will forgive, do whatever you want to do. That is a heresy. Likewise, you find if your life just becomes al-khawf, that's the way of the murji'ah. That always, they need punishment. So Aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah is بَيْنَ الْحُبِّ وَالرَّجَاءِ وَالْخَوْفِ. It's between love, hope and fear. All of it comes together. Person doesn't go to one inclination, doesn't go towards the other inclination, doesn't go to a third inclination. Tries to find the balance. So we know that our actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not necessarily have to weigh up our actions. لَا يُدْخِلُ أَحَدًا مِنْكُمْ عَمَلُهُ الْجَنَّةِ. None of you, your actions will get you into paradise. That's true. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see what? See the person who's trying. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. So, is it not safer that a person comes in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they try to do some actions. Ya Rab, I tried to offer my prayers, I tried to fast, I done this, I stayed away from this for your sake only. This is what my intention was, this is what I want to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ghafil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware. Whereas a person who just comes with nothing and just says, I believe. That's a claim which is false. A person who says, I believe, doesn't prove their belief, that's questionable. Because Imam al-Hassan al-Basri mentioned, al-Iman laysa bit-tamanni. Iman isn't bit-tamanni by false aspiration, just hopes, just to say, I believe. So in Islam, we know that if you believe, you show your belief. And that is the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah that we find, is tasdeequn bil-qalb. Yani is, yani the tasdeeq, the internal apprehension or conviction inside the heart. وَالنُطْق بِاللِّسَان, to utter the shahadatain, to utter your belief. وَالْعَمَلْ بِالْجَوَارِحِ, and to carry out the actions with your limbs. وَالْإِيمَان يَزِيدُ بِالطَّاعَ وَيَنْقُص بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ. Iman goes up with obedience and it goes down by disobedience. That in a nutshell is aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah. Simple. So when people say that Islam or my Iman is just inside my heart. No. If it's inside your heart, it should be manifest in your life. It should be manifest in showing that you really believe. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا. The Bedouin Arab says that, look, we believe, we've got strong faith, but what does the Quran rebukes them? Don't say you've believed, say you've submitted. So Iman is a deeper, deeper penetration. Yes, so all of us, alhamdulillah, Muslims, but we want to travel into that deeper circle of deep Iman, of implementation. And then eventually you find becoming a muhsin. As you find in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, these are the three stages that a Muslim tries to penetrate to eventually come to amongst those believers who are muhsinun. Indeed, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to the believers of muhsinun. What is the description of a muhsin? أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though you do not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside this dunya, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. So that is the pinnacle point of ibadah, of worship, that a person is focusing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that the correct belief of fear and hope and mercy creates what? Actions. As you find quite clearly inside the Qur'an, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Now if you go and study this ayah in great detail, you find the answer is there, whatever we mentioned before. That those are individuals, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَسَارِعُوا يَنِي race. Run towards seeking the forgiveness of your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gaining that paradise whose width is like the size of the heavens and the earth. وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, which has been prepared for the believers. Now comes the criteria. What is the criteria of the believers? Is it just as what many of us think that we are muttaqoon, we're pious individuals? The criteria is now mentioned. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Those who spend their wealth in a time of happiness, time of ease, وَالضَّرَّاءِ, and a time of adversity, of difficulty. Thus you find in the Qur'an, لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You're never going to attain piety until you don't spend of the things that you love. Likewise, you find, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whoever removes the greed from within themselves, the covetous, the love for wealth from themselves, that individual is a successful individual. So if Iman is just as we think, it's just inside the heart, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending out such messages? Those are the muttaqoon, those are the pious individuals who spend their wealth in the times of goodness and the times of hardship. Likewise, you find, as we mentioned, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, those who are able to swallow any their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, those who pardon mankind. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the doers of good. This is the criteria for the believers. Likewise, another similar verse, you find, سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَأَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعِدَّ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Yani race with one another, challenge with one another in gaining the forgiveness of your Lord and gaining that paradise whose width is like the heavens and the earth. وَعِدَّ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ, which is once again has been prepared for those pious individuals who believe in Allah and His Messenger. Belief in Allah and His Messenger leads to what? Leads to action. That's if you look at the opposite. If you read through the Quran, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What made you go end up being inside Saqar? وَسَقَرْ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ جَهَنَّمْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. They said that we never used to offer the prayers. وَلَمْ نَكُنْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِبِينَ وَكُنَّا نُكَدِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ حَتَّى أَتَانَ الْيَقِينَ. That we never used to bother to offer the prayers. We never used to feed the poor. Sign of Iman, feeding the poor. Likewise, you find we used to be busy wasting our time with those individuals, squandering their time, had no care about their time and their life. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. We used to reject the Day of Judgment. So every time your belief in the Akhirah, as we began with, is weak, then your a'mal will become weak. The more stronger your conviction inside the Akhirah, the more that you find that your actions become strengthening your conviction inside the Akhirah. And we find that these people, وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ حَتَّى أَتَانَ الْيَقِينِ. Until once again, not the certainty came to us, but what? Death came to them. So this is the opposite. Once again, life of action. If you stayed away from action, then the end could be dangerous. And likewise, if you believe, have that belief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find that that will strengthen that journey towards the Akhirah. The person begins to try to follow yani the path, yani of paradise that we're trying to highlight. And thus you find, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِي الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. I prepared for my servants, my pious servants, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and the feeling, the perception has not come upon yani the heart or the mind of any individual. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. No soul knows any what has been hidden from amongst the coolness, the tenderness of the eyes. For those individuals that you find, جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا, reward or recompense because of what? بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Because of what they used to do inside this dunya. Strange, isn't it, once again, that this is the recompense, this is a reward for the believers. Reward, recompense, their jaza because of what they used to do inside this dunya. So this is the reality, that the person will have, you need their reward inside this dunya. Whatever they do inside this dunya, the reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will store it and give it to them, yani inside the akhirah. And thus we find, what is the jaza of al ihsan? Illa al ihsan. The reward of goodness is what? Except for only any goodness will be given any to any that individual. So we find that this, what does one have to do to gain this preparation? This preparation inside the akhirah, remember, we don't have to do much. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies our actions. Our small life, our small action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies it to such a degree, to 10 times, to 700 times, to many ad'af, to many times as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, can multiply it. So our small actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so much reward. Likewise, you find that even a small place in paradise, you know, a whiplash, in that you flog an animal with a riding beast, one strand of that, one thread of that, خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. If you have that much place inside the paradise, it's better than the dunya and whatever it contains. There's something to think about. Better than the dunya and whatever it contains. That one small, you need whiplash. Even though when you ask for paradise, you should ask for what? You should ask for al-firdaus al-a'la. You should ask for the upper part of paradise. So we find out what is this place of paradise that we find, the lush gardens that you find, which we mentioned, the rivers inside paradise that you find, rivers of honey, of milk, of water, of pure wine, the palaces, the gardens, the clothing, the ornaments, the musk of the smell of the human being, the digestive system. There will be no urine, there will be no bowel, there will be no digestive system. All of the whole concept of the human being will be changed. So what do we have to do to gain that eternal bliss, the life of eternity, the real home, as we mentioned, the person will have to live there for eternal. That's what you find in the tabsh, the ram will come, and the people of Jannah will know it, and the people of yani hellfire will know it. Because this is going to be the ram of death. And that's what we said to the people of paradise, خُلُودٌ فَلَا مَوْتٌ. Live for eternity now inside paradise, there's going to be no death. And likewise, the people of the hellfire, خُلُودٌ فَلَا مَوْتٌ. For them as well, live for eternity inside the hellfire, there will be no yani death yani upon you. So these pleasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find What does the person need to do? If you go back and you study, and in general, most if not all of the ahadith talking about paradise, you find something very, very strange. In great detail, you find such wordings as دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ وَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ أَدْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ غُرِسَتْ لَهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. The person will be entered into paradise, will be given this in paradise, this will be planted inside paradise, I promise this for the person in paradise, I guarantee this for the person in paradise. Go and read all those ahadith. And you know what you find in all those ahadith? That the person who enters into paradise, the person will have this in paradise, will be granted this in paradise, with this tree will be given to the person will be rewarded with this. What do you find in all those ahadith? Nothing but actions. Go and study all those ahadith in detail. Person who says this will have this planted in paradise for the person. Whoever does this will have this in paradise. Whoever prays 2 raka'at sunnah of Salatul Fajr inside the morning, it is better, خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا, inside the Sahih of Imam Muslim. 2 raka'at sunnah that you find before Salatul Fajr, better than, خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا, is better than the dunya and whatever the dunya contains. Study all those ahadith. Person says this, person guards this, person stays away from this, person is guaranteed this inside paradise. So why are all these wordings been mentioned then? Have these wordings just been mentioned for the sake of just mentioning them? Or they show an intent that if you want this in paradise, you want to gain this in paradise, this is going to be given to you in paradise, this is going to be planted for you in paradise, this is your home inside paradise. Whoever prays the 12 raka'at, the sunnah in a day, prays the 12, will have a garden or a home inside paradise. So what does that prove? Does that mean now just say, I want to pray 12 raka'at and you get that? Lahu baytan fil jannah, the person will have a house in paradise. Who believes that? Is there any Muslim who believes that? If they do, that's a deviant belief. So what do you have to do? You don't know if you're definitely going to get it, but you're going to do what? You're going to try to do what? You're going to try to offer those 12 raka'at, 2 before Fajr that we find, 4 before Yani Dhuhr that we find, 2 after Dhuhr, 2 after Maghrib, 2 after Isha. That's the 12 that we find. Other narrations mention 10, but 12 is Yani more, Yani stronger, etc. So what does a person have to do? Has to do that. مَنْ يَدْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لَحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ أَدْمَنْ لَهُ جَنَّةِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Whoever guarantees for me whatever is in between his two jaws, and what is in between his two legs, means you guard your tongue, and you stay away from الشَّتَمْ وَاللَّعَنْ وَالْغِيبَ, from lying, any abuse, swearing, backbiting about people. Control this tongue. So once again, you find if you look at again the Muslim Ummah, some of us, we can't control our tongues. Likewise, whoever controls their private parts. مَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ, controls that. What did the Prophet Muhammad mention for that individual? أَدْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ, I guarantee for that person a place where? In paradise. So how are you going to guarantee yourself a place in paradise? Are you just going to say, I believe in this hadith? Or do you have to physically, practically implement this hadith to gain, inshallah, that reward? So the ulama mentioned 2 positives and 2 negatives. 2 positives, 2 good things, and 2 wrong things that we can stay away from, which helps us to concentrate upon focusing upon the path from paradise. Some of them we already mentioned already, but just to conclude, you find the 2 positives are faith and righteous deeds. The 2 negatives are obviously the opposite now. Shirk that we find, incorrect belief, and we find disobedience or sins. So the first 2 positives that we find, that every single Muslim, is incumbent upon every single Muslim, the 2 positives is firstly that we find to study the correct belief, to find the right iman. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. If they believe as they believe, meaning the companions, then they become rightly guided. So that's the first point that a Muslim needs to find, is the correct iman. الْأَقِيدَ الصَّحِيحَ الْأَقِيدَ السَّلِيمَ, the pure, pristine, orthodox belief. Because everything else that you do, it rests upon your belief. Because if your belief is fasida, if your belief is corrupt, then may Allah forbid, then your actions will be corrupt, or your actions can become null and void if you don't try to find the right belief. So that's the first thing, the first positive that the Muslim is focusing upon. So that's why you find that when the mashayikh, the teachers are telling you, and turakkiz ala al-aqa'id, to focus upon tawheed, upon as-sunnah, upon al-iman. Focus upon these points. Why? The main key element is to find the pristine orthodox belief. And then everything else becomes simple. So that's why the mu'min, the believer, is always reading. works on belief, whether it be al-qudama, whether it be the previous ulama, the writings that they wrote about iman, about tawheed, various kutub that you find, whether it be the books of Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah that you find, Aqidat al-Wasatiyya, al-Tadammuriyya, al-Hamawiyya, Kitab al-Iman, etc. that you find, whether it be Aqidat al-Tahawiyya, that we find al-Shuruhat, all the different shuruhat of the ulama, you find contemporary works as well, who've written a new form. Because sometimes you find that the previous form of writing of ulama was something which is the language is difficult. So now today you find modern day writings which have simplified it, made it easy for a person to study what their belief is. So the believer is always refining their belief, meaning always trying to understand their faith correctly. That is the key element of the believer. And then we find that also we find in studying the articles of faith, etc., you find then the righteous deeds. So a person doesn't just study any al-aqidah, just study the belief, and doesn't have any actions. As the Quran is telling us, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Show goodness like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown goodness to you. So after studying the appropriate belief, the Muslim then begins to carry out the righteous actions as we touched upon, whether it be the actions of az-zakah, of fasting, the performance of hajj that we find, birrul walidain, and being good to one's parents. Many parents come and they complain, look at these people, they're studying the Quran, they're studying ahadith, but they don't know how to behave towards their parents. Any talib al-Qur'an, any student of Qur'an knows what? وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. You're memorizing this on a daily basis. Don't you think about this? وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. Your Lord has decreed you should worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mention straight after that? Does it say believe in the messenger? Does it say do this action? Does it say offer 5 daily prayers? Does it say do this? No. It says what? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Show goodness to your parents. وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Inside Surah An-Nisa, worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what? Straight after that, does it tell you? You're supposed to be a student of the Qur'an. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Show goodness to your parents. So this is khalal fi al-aqidah. This is a misunderstanding of your belief. Khalal inside your a'mal. A discrepancy inside your actions. Because you find صاحب الأقيدة صاحب الخلق. Person of aqa'id, of good belief, is a person, what? Sahibul khuluq. You cannot separate the two. You can't say that I have a good character, but you have a corrupt belief, no problem. Or say I have a good belief, but you know, no problem, my actions are corrupt. No. The person understands aqidah properly, understands a proper belief, understands how to engage with people and focus upon that. And the most primary role that we find is the parents. So this is a sign of righteous deeds. A path towards paradise. And you all know, I'm sure you're familiar with all the numerous ahadith which talk about the rights of parents and people of serving their parents and the reward that was given to them. It's all there. It's all documented. Like I find towards one's relatives, that you find any silatul rahim, that you find keeping the ties in your family members, is all righteous deeds. The rights of neighbors that you find, and you find the person, any man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ دَيْفَهُ. All this hadith that you find, basic elementary hadith, whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala last day, let that person speak well or do what? Remain silent. Yaskut. Remain silent. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala last day, look at the key link again, believes in Allah on the last day. So you believe in Allah on the last day, can't just say I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala last day. Fal يُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ. Let the person show goodness to his neighbor. What does it mean, إِكْرَامُ الْجَارِ? What does it mean to show goodness to your neighbor? What does that mean? Read through the shuruhat of various ulama, whether it be the writings of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali explaining any al-Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam, explaining Imam Nawawi's any 40 ahadith, or other ulama, Shaykh Uthaymeen's sharh, you find Shaykh Salih Fawzan's any explanation that you find. Find any many different ulama. What do they highlight about the rights of one's neighbor? Based on a hadith Abu Darda, that when you're cooking your food, then what should you do? Add more water for who? For your neighbor. Where are we from these actions today? Some of the fuqaha mentioned, Al-Jar, your neighbor is 40 doors to your right and 40 doors to your left. Obviously today, that's shaq, that's difficult. That's difficult to adopt that today. But obviously at that time when it was a small village, 40 doors wasn't much. But today living in the mudun, living in the cities, it's difficult to say that 40 doors to your right and 40 doors to your left. But at least a couple of doors to your right, a couple of doors to your left. And thus you find, based upon some narrations, even though the narrations are weak, you find your jar, your neighbor next to you. وَإِن كَانَ كَافِرًا كان له حق واحد. If he's a disbeliever, he has what? One right over you. What right does he have over you? Can you now say فهو كافر? Can you say he's a disbeliever? No. There's one right he has over you, the right he has over you, that he is جارٌ لك. He is your neighbor. وَإِن كَانَ يَنِي You find that this person is Muslim. كَانَ لَهُ حَقَّان He has two rights over you. The rights of being a Muslim, and second, the rights of being what? Being your neighbor. وَإِن كَانَ يَنِي مِنْ أَقْرِبَائِكَ If he happens to be from your family members, he or she has how many rights over you? Has three rights over you. Being a family member, being a Muslim, and being your neighbor. So this is something for us to begin to think about. You believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day, then a person show goodness towards their neighbors. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day should show any goodness towards any the guests. Ikramul Dayf. And it is the way of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and likewise the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise we find the righteous deeds of the Muslim is in speech. And a Muslim yani, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا Say to people, yani, good things. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا Say the correct words, appropriate words. Is another concept of righteous deeds of the believer. Likewise, we find reviving and practicing the sunnah. التَّمَسُّقْ بِسُنَّةِ Encouraging people to come towards the sunnah is also a righteous deed that a person needs to do. And likewise, a person is vigilant in their life. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Do you order the people to do something, you don't do it yourself? So Muslim tries to do righteous deeds to strengthen their own iman, to lift up their own iman. Because we find the Qur'an is very harsh. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفَعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفَعَلُونَ Quran says that, oh, you believe, why do you say that which you don't do? Grave it is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Severe it is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You tell people to do something, you don't do it yourself. So the Muslim, and he is worried about carrying out these righteous deeds upon themselves, and then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them tawfiq and ability, then spread that towards any other individuals. As for the two negatives that we find, it's obviously naturally the opposite of the two positives. So if you don't have the right belief, you'll be following a path of what? Of shirk. Shirk, of incorrect belief. And we know that shirk is a dangerous concept. Because we find inside the Qur'an, inside Surah An-Nisa, two verses, identical verses in the beginning, the ending is slightly different, that you find, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ Whoever, dies upon committing a shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive shirk, but will forgive any other sin other than that. So sometimes we find in our community that people have a corrupt belief, are carrying out acts of shirk, we should be worried about this, that we don't die upon shirk. As the Qur'an mentions, that those individuals, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ Those people who commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram for that person to ever go where? Into paradise. So one should be worried that this is the opposite. This will take you away from the path of paradise. Thus you find that shirk destroys your actions. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا The actions these people they've done, we made them into scattered dust, having no value at all. Obviously, you know this ayah is talking about the mushrikun, but the ibrah, the lesson is there, that if a Muslim falls into severe shirk, then their actions can become null and void. Even the Qur'an mentions towards the end of Surah Yusuf, the 12th chapter of the Qur'an, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ Most people believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they commit what? They commit shirk. They have a corrupt belief. اجتنبوا سبع الموبقات Stay away from the seven deadly sins. What is the most deadly sin that we find? Al-ishraku billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise inside Surah Luqman that we find, inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. The shirk is the greatest oppression. So this is a distraction. This is one of the main negatives that will distract you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, away from the path of paradise. And likewise the second negative that we find, is the path of person falling into ma'asi, into dhunub, into disobedience. Person is not safeguarding their mind, their ears, their eyes, their heart, everything about them, their tongues, their stomachs. Person not worried about it, whatever they're eating, whatever they're drinking, whatever they're seeing, whatever they're visualizing, whatever they're saying. So a life of dhunub, a life of ma'asi, is also a negative. May Allah forbid it takes you away from the path of paradise. Doesn't mean you may not go to paradise. Yes, you will eventually go to paradise. But you may have to face some suffering, some torture, some you need recompense for the actions that you've done, and then eventually go into paradise. So one, you need, could maybe think, I have the right belief, but then begins to fall into disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thus we find a person, and he safeguards everything. Safeguards their oaths, their witnesses, their testimonies, safeguards any their wealth, their family, their children, everything. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Oh, you believe, save yourselves and your family members from the fire. So that is a path, and you're trying to safeguard oneself, to stay away from dhunub and ma'asi. So this, yani, in a nutshell, that we want to encourage all of us brothers and sisters to find, yani, the swiftest and the quickest path to paradise. There is a quick path, but naturally that path is going to be difficult. But as long as the person is trying to be observant and trying their best, then the rewards will be many for that individual. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. This is the long path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Follow that path. Do not deviate. Do not go away from the path. Do not follow a path of deviation, of corruption, of innovations, of ma'asi, of the noob, of disobedience. Try to find that accurate path. Yes, that path will be difficult. The path will be a long struggle. But if a person, as we began with, has that certainty, has that yaqeen, has that iman, then that person begins to know that every single step of my life, and it's not much of a long life, it's 50 odd years, 60 odd years, the age of this Muslim ummah will be bayna sittin wa sab'een. That's how long the life will be. If you take away your young days, 20 years of young days, take away 10 years of sleeping, 5, 10 years of being inside the toilet, 5, 10 years of eating and drinking, what are you left with? Not many years, is it? Only 10, 15 years of your life you're going to enjoy, and that's it. Then you make that return. You may even go before that. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the swiftest and the quickest, yani, return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, strengthen, yani, our iman and our actions, however long we have to remain upon this earth, and make us amongst those individuals, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. Those who hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ponder over them. And here we don't just find sima', we find istima', yani close pondering, close thinking, application, and trying to comprehend and understand it, and follow it to the best any of the ability. Those are the individuals that we hope to be. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَكَ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. بارك الله فيكم.